Testing 1, 2, 3. Okay. All right, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Okay, this morning I want to spend some time to just talk about, as you see, it's called Supernatural Conception, and some of you might be thinking that's quite an interesting title. But as we know, we are in a period of, we're in December, and this is a season where everyone's talking about Christmas, and obviously the evident story of Christmas that everyone talks about is the Nativity, the birth of Jesus Christ. So I want to open up this morning with a couple of scriptures that we're going to find from the book of Genesis and from the book of Luke, and I'm just going to lay that down first. As we read through the scriptures, and then we'll talk about what it means by supernatural conception. So let's just begin by opening with the Word of God, okay? All right, so Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 to verse 31, this is what it says. It says, So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, See, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed. So to you shall be for food. Verse 30, Also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth in which there is life, I've given every green herb for food, and it was so. Then God saw everything that he made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. All right, so we're going to read Genesis chapter 2, verse 19 to 24. Just laying out the scriptures here, just leading up to... All right, verse 19, it says this, Out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air, and brought them to Adam and to see what he would call them, and whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. So Adam gave names to all cattle, to the birds of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helper comparable to him, and the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took out of one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Verse 22, Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And Adam said, This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. All right? Let's just read the scriptures for now. One more scripture I would like to read before we actually start. Luke chapter 1, verse 26 to verse 38. Now, this is the nativity story, all right? So, or at least the prior to the birth. Okay, so it says this in verse 26. Now, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed, to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. But when she saw him, he was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. And Mary said to the angel, How can this be? Since I do not know a man. And the angel answered and said to her, The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month of her who was called barren. For with God, nothing is impossible. And Mary, finally, in verse 38, then Mary said, "Behold, the maid servant of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Okay, so, all right, here we've gone through the scriptures in Genesis. Now we've looked at the book of Luke. And as you probably start to put the puzzle together, you can start seeing why I've actually called this supernatural conception. All right, but what happens to Jesus must also happen to us. Now, by means of introduction, I just want to say this, it's not on the notes. The command that was given to Adam when he was created by God was to be blessed, to multiply, to be fruitful, and to fill the whole earth, to subdue everything, and to exercise dominion over the earth. But he was to fill and multiply the earth. Then Jesus, after his resurrection, spoke to his disciples as he went up, and he said, "Go into all the world," right? Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them and discipling them. Is that right? So the command that was given to the disciples was to go out and fill the whole earth and disciple every nation to bring Jesus into their lives. But then as we know, the book of Daniel we've been studying a lot. And so one of the major chapters that we've been focusing on, we've been speaking in the live group, in the Bible studies, is Daniel chapter 2. And in Daniel chapter 2, there is this statue that King Nebuchadnezzar saw. And it represented the nations and the kingdoms of this world. But what actually happens is that a stone that is cut without hands strike that statue and brought the statue down, which what it means is that the kingdoms of this world, the kingdoms of Satan, all right, will come to an end because there's a stone that God will supernaturally form cut out of his hand and strike the kingdom of this world. And the Bible tells us that this stone without hands will grow into a great mountain and fill the whole earth. Are you getting the idea? Now, the idea is this, that vision that or that understanding or the interpretation of the dream that Daniel received was to point us towards the end when Jesus comes back. So what I'm trying to say here is that the original intention of God was given to Adam and Eve to fill the whole earth, but they failed. Now, Jesus died on the cross, he restores us, he saves us, brings us back to himself, and he commands his disciples to go out and fill the whole earth. And the fulfillment of all of that is seen when all the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our Lord and his Christ, when the stone, which is the church of the living God, built by Jesus, strikes the kingdom of this world until everything is brought under the lordship of Jesus. Amen? So what I'm trying to say this morning is that what God had intended right from the beginning, not only is he restoring now, but he will bring it into a fulfillment. And God is in the business of doing this through his church. And his church is made up of you and me. Right? Now, I want you, as we continue this morning, I just want to lay four words before you this morning as I go through each point. And the next slide, which I'm just going to verbalize it first, and then I'll explain what it kind of means, okay? Number one is connection, all right? Connection. We're going to talk about connection. Number two, I'll be talking about operation. Number three is conception. And number four is execution. Or you could say this as well. You need accurate connection. Accurate connection. God needs to do a precise operation in our life so that there will be supernatural conception, so that there will be militant execution. All right, big words. I'm not sure if what I'm saying makes sense, actually, but let's see. Okay, the reason why I want to talk about this morning is that in order to fulfill what God had intended right from the beginning, now, I want to use the scriptures that we read in the book of Luke to show us that what happened to Jesus, what God intended right from the beginning in Genesis, and what God did through Jesus, God wants to do it through you and through me. Remember, the Bible is full of symbols, and is full of this kind of language that helps us understand what God actually means. And just by passing, I'll just quickly mention this right in Genesis, when God asked men to multiply and to fill the earth, they were to have children that would be born sinless because sin had not yet entered the world, right? But because of that, they failed. But then we see that through Jesus, we see the supernatural conception of a child, and this happens when the Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary and the Word became flesh in the inside of her, and Jesus was conceived in the womb of Mary by the Holy Spirit. And one of the things that he tells us and he shows us by means of introduction is that the unity of a husband and a wife that we see in Genesis and the unity of what we see with Mary with agreeing with the Word brought about a conception and brought about a child and brought forth what God wanted to bring forth. And we can see that, and we can see that the desire of God is to have such unity with Christ and the church to bring forth and to conceive the last day generation move of God that will birth forth in the final days, right when Jesus comes. But in order to fulfill that, in order to do that, in order to be that, these are the four points that I want to talk to you about this morning. Number one is connection. Number two is operation. Number three is conception. And number four is execution. All right, so hopefully if it doesn't make sense by the end of this, it will make sense. But as you see the story of Adam and Eve, I'm going to use Adam and Eve and the book of Luke with Mary. But actually, I want to use Adam and Eve first. The first thing that we saw in their lives, in Adam's life, because remember when God created man, he created Adam, he created them male and female, okay? All right, and so the command was given to, but one thing that you can see in Adam's life is that he had, the connection was so important. He was connected to God because God created man so that man will be able to hear him, all right? Man will be able to hear God and on the earth, execute everything that God intended for the earth. And one of the things that I see is, if you can go to the next slide. So we're going to talk about connection. What do I mean by connection? How are we going to bring forth a supernatural conception? Now, when I talk about conception, am I talking about what Christ and the church will bring forth, but I'm talking about even in our personal life, in our individual lives, we need to conceive, and we need to conceive the Word of God in the inside of us. But there are some of the things that we need to be aware of, and there's some of the things that we need to do in order to allow ourselves to become in a place to allow that to take place. So the first one is connection. First one is connection. God created the heavens and the earth to be connected. Created us to connect with God. And one of the ways that in the life of Adam and Eve, or at least with Adam before Eve came into the picture, or Mrs. Adam came into the picture, is that when God gave him the command, he was to name, what does the Bible say as we read this morning? He named all the cattle, all the animals, and all the birds of the air. And so, you know, he was so connected to God. He was inspired by God. He could hear from God. Okay, and so the connection with God and the relationship with God was so essential for him to operate on the earth. But you see, when sin came into the picture, it broke that connection. But now, through Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins, because we deserve death because of our own sins, because the sin of the world Jesus came to give us life, and Jesus came to set us free from the bondage of sin, which we cannot set ourselves free from, and took the penalty of our lives and took the judgment that everyone in this world deserved so that we can have eternal life, because He has done it on our behalf. And if we believe and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord and He's the Son of the living God, that He is our Savior, that He's the only way that can bring me back to God, and He's the only way to restore my life, God says He'll give us eternal life in the name of Jesus. Amen? But connection is such an important word, because everything, every appliance that we use, we need to connect it. Right? If we want to use any electrical appliance, if we don't plug it into the electrical port, okay, it doesn't work, right? To have water in our house, we need to ensure that the pipes in the house are connected to the main water. Now, without the connection, there can be no flow of water. Without, you know, if we want to charge our phone, we want to make sure that it's plugged in, because if it's not plugged in, you can't charge your phone. So the connection is so important. So for us as Christians, if we are not connected with God, we find it impossible to receive what God has for us. Now, another analogy that everyone will understand, at least in this day and this age, is your mobile phone. And most of us here will understand that what we mean by WhatsApp. Yeah. So it's a messenger. We use this to send messages to people through our phone. And that I use. What does it use? It either uses your mobile data, right? So whatever provider, you're with Telstra, Optus, Vodafone, Virgin, whatever it is, right? So you can use that to send messages, or you can be connected to a Wi-Fi. Wi-Fi, which a modem, which provides you the facility to use the internet. Are you with me so far? But the thing is unless we switch the mobile data on, you can send as many messages that you want, it won't go anywhere. You know, someone I recently been talking to, they sent messages, all right, but did not have Wi-Fi on or mobile data on, sent so many messages out to friends and people that they know, and wondering, why are they not replying and responding to my messages? And obviously, you would, if you were that person, you would feel frustrated, because you'd be like, I thought they're my friends, I thought this and that, and I'm asking for a favor. 5 days, I've not heard anything. You're wondering what's going on. But the problem was not that the problem is not on the other end. The problem is that the data was not switched on. The Wi-Fi was not switched on. So there's no connection to the other party. And here, the man is wondering what is happening. Until you take the phone and you switch the mobile data, you switch the Wi-Fi on, and then suddenly the moment you do that, connection takes place and every message just goes to go plop, 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 right? And then you can start receiving the messages back, and the other end receives the message, like, oh, yes, yep, and then replies to the message. But without the connection, it doesn't go anywhere. And not only our messages don't go anywhere, messages does not come in either. So if we've got it turned off, people can be sending messages after messages and nothing happens, right? And you're wondering, why is nobody messaging me? Why is no one messaging me? I'm left alone and no. Okay? And I'm being rejected and people don't like. No. But the moment suddenly you switch it on, 100 messages just suddenly come in and you'll be wondering, oh, what's happened? So the reason of me sharing this is a true story, by the way. It doesn't mean it was, not me, but okay, it's a true story. It's a true story. But the point is this, without connection, messages don't go out, messages don't come in. But it's just so essential, and our lives are so, you know, everything that we do, there's the concept of connection is there. Things that we use, even when we interact with people, there's got to be connection. Businesses have connections. You know, companies and the workforce, they've got to have connections, because they can't get everything that they need. So they need supplies here, they need that there. And you know what I'm talking about? So connection with God is so important. But how do we connect with God is another question that we've got to quickly talk about. Because the connection is the way that God will allow everything that we require to fulfill everything that he desires. Right? So, but how do we position ourselves to ensure that we're in a place that we are constantly receiving? All right, we got to have our devotion with God. We got to be connected by his word, because God created everything by his word, and without his word, nothing was made that was made. Everything that he made, everything that comes to pass, unless God spoke his word or speaks his word, nothing can happen. And so that's the reason why if we want something to happen in our lives, we've got to hang on to the word of God. And not just when we say the word of God, we're not just saying, I mean, come on, the Bible is made up of 66 books, you know, and you can't just suddenly take 66 books and just somehow it's just going to come to pass. But as we go through daily lives, as pastors been telling us, you know, God has to speak a word in the season. God has to speak a word, a now word, what we call it, now, which means God is speaking to us now, because God is a speaking God. God is a God who's alive, right? He's not just like something that we heard 20 years ago and nothing fresh is coming out, but there's got to be something fresh that God is saying. And so so we see that as long as we connect with what God is saying now, we can move with what God is doing, because the moment we don't, we get left behind. And we're stuck into an old, we're stuck into the old, and we can't experience anything new. And so one of the things, and some of the avenues that God actually does, it's through our personal devotion to God and through his word. And God has to speak to us individually as well. But we got to be connected by not only by his word, but through his spirit, we got to connect with the house, or we got to connect with the body of Christ. This is, as we see, this is a local body. This is called a church. This is called the house of God. And this is a place of supply. It's a place of, it's called a storehouse. It's a place where we can be fed. It's a place where we can give. It's a place where we can receive. And it's a place that we can, from here, we can supply to places that have lack. But in order to receive from here, we got to connect to the house. So it is so important for us to connect with this. Like, what does it mean to connect? Because, you know, we can be coming to church, but yet we're not connected. Do you know what I'm talking about? We can be sitting here, but we're not connected. We could be like this mobile phone. It has all the capacity to receive messages, send out messages. It has even the application installed, but it's just sitting here without being switched on. It can do nothing. So sometimes we could be like this mobile phone that has all those good things that can be done, but we've got the Wi-Fi switch off. We've got the mobile data switch off. And we can be sitting in church, and yet we're not receiving anything. But we got to connect accurately with the fivefold ministry. We got to connect accurately with God's appointed leaders, because God has raised them for the purpose, because now through the fivefold ministry, God is just raising up and building up people, children, young men, young women, young and old. Everybody needs to be equipped, but in order to do that, we need to connect with the fivefold ministry. What do I mean by the fivefold ministry? They are the leaders that God has appointed that has a dimension that they can impart into the lives of people. We got to be connected with that, with one another. Amen? You know, one of the things that really shows that perhaps we're on the right track of being connected is, I use this term here, generational transfer. What I mean by that is that if we connect accurately to this house, what matters to this church will also matter to you. What the vision of what this church is will also be your vision. You know, and that's how you know that you're not just a church attendee. I mean, great, we are all church members, that's great. But something more than that, when we connect, it really becomes your family. You know, if someone is in trouble, you want to help, you want to do something. You know, and you, that's the reason why we got to connect with this house, because it's out of the church, because Jesus said, I am building my church. I'm not just building a family. I'm not just building some individual so that you can be a superstar and everyone can, you know, because sometimes we're so gifted. Sometimes the people are gifted. I look at people in this church. I'm amazed by what some people can do. The instruments that they play, the way they can speak, the things they can do. It's impressive. And you see, but the thing is, but the plague that's upon mankind, at least the unrenewed mind, is that we want to take it upon ourselves. So here a door opens, here a door opens there, and suddenly we start thinking, oh, maybe it's about me. Maybe it's about what I can do. Maybe it's about the skills that I have. But every skill, every ability comes from God. So as long as we stay connected to the house, stay with the vision of the house, it's not about me, but it's about what I can give to the house so that the house can flourish. Because it's out of the house that God will affect the rest, the city, the Perth, Australia. But it's out of this place. It's out of this place. So stay connected. How do we connect? Connect to the leaders. Connect in the live group. Connect with God in prayer, in devotion, and all of that. So connection is so essential. We see the evidence of connection as well in Mary before she conceived the baby. Why? Because there were angelic visitations. These are signs of heavenly things happening. And the more we connect, heavenly dimension or spiritual dimensions will begin to break forth in our lives. Okay, number two, I'm going to talk about operation. All right, so the point of me sharing this morning, I want to remind you, is that something has to happen in our lives. Conception must take place in our lives, individually and as a church. The church must conceive. We as Christians must conceive, and the Word of God is the seed that will allow conception to take place in the womb of our spirit. But first, we've got to be connected. And not just connected, but we have to be connected accurately. So everybody say accurately. So it's accurate connection. The way we relate to each other is important. What differs us from any other club? What differs the church from any social club that's out there? You got to ask yourself, if I'm only connecting with you for what you can give me, then it's nothing different from what we see in the world, right? Or if most of the time connection is what you can do for me, it's not really so much what we can do together, or what I can give to you, or how I can bless you, or how I can become a part of what you've already established. A lot of times we want to start our own thing, but we don't want to work what God has already established. You know, that was just a thought, right? I mean, you know, and connection is, I really believe, even for my own personal life, connection is so important, because I think without the right connections in my life, without the right connections, it is so easy to just go off, you know what I'm saying? See, when I became a Christian and I was born again and was baptized and not joined evangel yet, I was very, I really wanted to know more about the Bible. And so I was so into it. So I said, I had a friend in uni. I said, how about we start a Bible study? So I started to compile all these notes and all these things that I've been learning in live group and all these things. And so excited. And this thought came to me. Now, when I look back now, I wouldn't quite think the way I thought back then. But I thought, I wish this can grow and it can bring a lot of people in. And like I said, I've not joined a local church yet, but I was still in the Catholic Church. But I thought, I thought to myself, maybe, at that time, I never thought of even being a leader or a pastor or anything like that. But this thought came in. Maybe I should start something. I should start my own church someday somehow. I mean, I don't even know what I'm talking about. But now if you ask me, I'd be like, I wouldn't think that. You know, sometimes because we think we're passionate about, and that's great. And sometimes God wants us to start something, and that's cool. But I'm just saying that sometimes even our passion, if not guided, passion is good, zeal is good, but if not guided properly, it can go off tangent, right? So we need the guidance, we need the input, and we need to see that it's not, because at the time, I'm pretty sure I'd feel like it's, I'm a Christian, and now I can lead Bible study, and I know so much about the Bible. That's how I saw it. You know, even when I first started sharing the Word of God, it's changed over the years. I personally can tell you this, you know, the why I share and how I do it is changed over the time, because I realize that the preaching is not, or the sharing of the word is not how I can display the word of God, but how can the body of Christ be edified by it, and how can we allow the word of God to go forth in such a way that the body will be edified. But connection is important, all right, number one. So it's essential to have the right connection. Number two is operation. What I mean by operation is this. The Merriam-Webster's dictionary, one of the meanings is this, just so we're on the same page, because operation has different meanings, yeah? It's a procedure performed on a living body, usually with instruments, especially for the repair of damage or the restoration of health. So that's the kind of operation I'm talking about here. All right, we have to allow God to operate our lives. And operation or surgery is not something that we go, I want surgery, you know, pick me. It's probably the last thing that you want to go through, right? If you can go through a life, healthy life without any of that, who wouldn't want that? You know what I'm saying? So it's not a pleasant process. It's not something that we are specifically looking for, but yet God needs to operate us because we need to be healthy. We need to be put in place and position ourselves. And so I'm going to use Adam and Eve here, or Adam, Mrs. Adam here. Here Adam was in the garden and he was naming all the animals and I don't know, maybe counting the stars. I don't know what he was doing, but then suddenly he saw like Mr. and Mrs. Lion and all of that. Then suddenly his favorite verse came out of the Bible. He says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. So he sings himself to sleep, delight yourself. And then as he began to sing this song, then God saw and said, I will give him the desire of his heart. Because he's been faithful and he's been naming the animals, he's been very busy in the garden. So here God put him in a deep sleep, and he took one of his ribs, and out of his rib formed the woman. And the woman was known as his wife. So what I want to say here is that, there's so many things I can say about this, but God has to operate us. God has to put us in a deep sleep. God has to operate us. And what I mean by the operation is not something, not just the natural mind, but what I'm talking about is there's something internal that's supernatural. I mean, it's quite supernatural to have a woman come out of a rib, isn't that right? So, but what I'm saying is when God operates us, something in the inside of us has to take place, whether he's going to take out a rib or something, but something internal has to happen. When Mary agreed with the word, something happened in the inside of us. God was operating her. When the Holy Spirit came upon us, something happened internally that would allow the word to become flesh. There's an operation of God that needs to take place in our lives. And I want to show you how God, by operating us, is causing a change in the inside of us, because we need to be adjusted. We need to go through the operation so that we can be fit. When you look at the life of, let's say, Jacob, for example. Next slide. Right? Jacob. Jacob became Israel. Is that right? But, okay, maybe I've got all the scriptures there, but I think I won't go through them. But as you all know the story of Jacob, you know, he was wrestling with a man, with an angel, and he said, you know, and the angel said, let him go. And he said, I won't let you go until you bless me. And his hip was dislocated, right? Right? And then God actually blessed him and said to him, you've prevailed, okay? And what did he say to him? You shall no longer be called Jacob, but you shall be called Israel. And so in the process of operation, when God is working, one of the things that we have to do is we have to press in. We have to keep going through, because, we can't just give up. It's easier to give up, right? But a prevailing mindset and a buoyant spirit is what will take us to the other side. That's what will cause us to cross over to the other side. What did the book of Isaiah 43 verse 1 said? This is what he says. But now, thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you, for I have called you by your name, you are mine. Jacob became Israel. God had to form Jacob so he could become Israel. All right? So what I'm saying here this morning is that God has to form us so that we will become who he wants us to do. But the process is God has to operate us. All right? And some of us need to go through a deep sleep because, what I'm saying here is that it's a total surrender to God so that He can operate us. He can do everything that needs to happen internally. So it is a very precise... You know, when we talk about operation, you can't just... The surgeon can't just say, well, I'll just grab some tool from the garage and I'll just... And knife and just... And just randomly cut here and there, right? Every operation is... You have to be very precise if you want to do your proper job, right? Because you're dealing with internal organs. You're dealing with stuff that's very, very, very... You've got to be very careful. So you just don't go... You know? Okay? So when God operates us, He will precisely operate us. There are specific things in our lives that God needs to deal with. All right? But we must allow God to do that. And as you go through the soap, one of the things that comes to mind is we've got to uphold justice. We've got to seek righteousness. And we've got to seek humility. If we keep these qualities and allow God to work in our lives, even when we don't understand why, when we don't understand why and we're trying to figure it out and everything is not going our way, we just got to keep trusting God and be like Jacob that pushes through until he prevails. All right? So there'll be a breaking of a new dawn. So I want to declare this morning that in the name of Jesus, there will be a company that will rise, and breakthrough after breakthrough will begin to take place as your people continue to press into every promise of God, allowing the work of God to take place in the inside of us, the operation of God that will change the internal dynamics of what is inside. In the name of Jesus, I declare breakthrough in Jesus' name. Next level in Jesus' name. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. All right, let me try and finish this off really quickly now. The last couple of things I want to mention here. So you have accurate connection. We've got to keep accurate connections. We've got to be one. All right, we've got to be connected well, accurately. We're going to have precise operation, and we're going to have supernatural conception. All right? Supernatural conception, and I'll just quickly, briefly go through this, is that's what happens when the Word of God in Mary became flesh. And what happens is that when she agreed, when she said to Jesus, when she said to the, she said, let it be done unto me according to your word. What happened? The Holy Spirit overshadowed her, and there she conceived Jesus because she agreed with the word. That's what we allow conception. Now, do you also know that quickly, do you know the story about Zechariah, who was the husband of Elizabeth, right? And an angel also came to him, right? And he also got an announcement that, Elizabeth, your wife, will bear a child. Now, he found it hard to believe, right? I mean, who wouldn't? Suddenly you get an announcement like this, it will overwhelm us. Is that right? But Mary had the same thing, didn't she? She also was like, but how can it be? I've not known a man. Both were in a very similar situation, and they both start to say, but how... How can it be? My wife, she's too old. She's barren. How is that possible? So that was Zechariah. And then here we have Mary saying the same thing. But you see, why did God, or why was Zechariah, was he muted? Why did he become mute until the birth of John? And why did not with Mary? Because both questioned, like, I don't know. I mean, how can this be? Right? But the difference, I believe, is the heart of each individual was different. Mary's heart was the good ground. Now, I know we've been talking a lot about the parables and the different kind of grounds, and I'm not going to talk about this, but in passing, I mentioned this. You can go back to previous messages from Dino and Grace and everybody else. I've been sharing fantastic messages about this. But it was the condition of their hearts that made the difference. Because when Mary said, let it be done to me according to your word, even though she said, how can it be? You know, she conceived the word because her heart was on good ground, right? She was on good ground. Yes, it surpasses the natural mind, but hey, let it be done according to what you say, because I don't know how it's going to take place. You're going to do it. So it was the attitude of the heart that made the difference. If we want conception to take place in our lives, if we want the word to conceive, we got to have this kind of heart that's humble, a heart that has good ground to receive the word of God. Amen. So we have to allow the Holy Spirit to overshadow us as well. And I think one of the key that Pastor has been sharing, or at least mentioned on Friday in our prayer meeting, is the key is praying the Spirit, praying tongues. Does that make sense so far? Yeah. So we need accurate connection, All right, we need to allow operation to take place in our lives. We need to conceive, right? What for? To bring forth execution. Last one. To bring forth the execution. That's how I started out this morning. God's command was to fill the whole earth. Jesus came to restore it. In the book of Daniel, we see, and in the book of Revelation, we see its fulfillment. When we have accurate connection, and we allow God to do a precise operation in our life, and allow the supernatural conception to happen in the church will become ready to execute the Father's decree. God's original intention will be fully restored, and the church will become God's arrow. The church will be fit for the assignment. The church will become selected to do this very specific and very selected task. And by sharing this morning, and even by doing it the way that I did with the introduction, is to show us that there's God wants to do, but there's a process that right now God is doing. All right? Because if great things are ahead of us, we must be prepared for it. We must be ready for it. But how do we become ready? God has to operate us. But God can't operate us if we're not connected. God can't operate us if we're not ready to receive. And if we're not being operated, and if we're not ready, there will be no execution. No one goes to battle unprepared. You're going to make sure your weapons are ready. You're going to make sure that you've got some allies. Just go to battle and go by yourself and think you're like some superhero. Even superheroes now, they have allies, apparently. So how much more we need to make sure we've got the right people by our side. You know, it's so essential to have the right people next to us. We could be like Job and his three friends, or we could be Daniel with his three friends. So I think it's a good thought. Job and his three friends, or Daniel with his three friends. Which company of people do we want? And what kind of people do we want to surround ourselves with? We've got to be able to find people that can help us, that can help the church, that can come to the church and say, this is my house. This is my church. This is where I belong. And this, the vision, that the reason why God has placed me here is so that we can, together, we can fulfill this vision. We can do it as one. And so as a conclusion, I'll say this. That's how I conclude this. The story of Christmas, this story where the angel came to Mary, and this whole thing about Jesus being born out of Mary, I want you to see this pattern in the scriptures, all right? That right from Genesis, right? I'm just running this up now, full conclusion. Right in Genesis, Adam and Eve were to have a sinless offspring. They were to have a conception that would bring forth a sinless generation of children that would fill the earth. Now, that is God's original intention. Now, okay? Then through Jesus, who is the only one who can bring a restoration to that, but even he went through that in a way because he had a supernatural conception, and he was born sinless, and he was completely free from sin. He did not sin. He did not do any of that, and he died on the cross for the sins of the world. But what happened was a supernatural conception out of a woman. So what I'm trying to lay a puzzle here this morning is not only Genesis, not only the book of Luke, but right now with the church, what does God want to do with the church? Could it be that, because you've got to understand the language of the Bible, the Bible talks about Jesus as the bride. Sorry, as the groom, right? And the church as the bride. Why? To explain to us marriage. Now, what is the consummation of marriage? You're going to understand all this language to see that something in the Spirit God wants to do. So what I want to lay before you is, has God forgotten his original intention from the garden? No. And did Jesus not only experience supernatural conception and supernatural birth, right? But he lays the pattern for us to follow. He lays the example, and he did that to restore us so that we now, him as the groom, the church as a bride, in the spirit. Now, we're not talking about natural things right now. I'm not talking about natural conception. But something will happen because just like the unity of a husband and a wife will bring forth a child, so much the unity of Christ and the church becoming so one, becoming so united with the Word, so that everything that God says, we become the platform that God will allow us to use. What will happen? The womb of the church will conceive and bring forth a generation that's going to be very powerful in the last days. And that's where we are heading. So Christmas, as we talk about this story, is not just the birth of Jesus, but it's what God wants to do with His church too. And to do that, we need accurate connection. We need precise operation by God in our lives. We need to have conception to take place. And remember, conception will not happen without the Word of God. So we must have the Word of God so that the church can execute and fill the whole earth. Amen? So I want to pray as I finish this morning that we not only will understand, but God will help us to implement every of these little aspects that we've spoken here to this morning. So Father, I pray in the mighty name of Jesus that the Spirit of understanding will cause us to understand the Word of the living God, the intentions of God, the purpose of God to bring forth the supernatural in our lives, that there will be such unity, there will be the connection that will take place, right connections in our lives. In the name of Jesus, accurate connection will yield to the God's operation, that God will perform surgeries, very specific, very accurate surgery in our lives, so that I'll be ready in the name of Jesus to bring forth, to conceive, to bring conception, so that there will be a generation that is rising. So I declare and decree this morning that there's a mighty generation that's rising in the name of Jesus, in the midst right now in Australia, even in this church, in the name of Jesus, a company of people right now rising, mighty warriors, arrows, selected arrows in Jesus' name. That will be accurate, they'll be strong in Jesus' name. They will possess the gates of the enemy. They will negotiate at the gates of the enemy, speak against the enemy in the name of Jesus, because we thank you, Lord, that the kingdom of God will fill the whole earth. And so, Father, we yield and we say, there's so much that you want to do in our lives. And in this Christmas season, would you open our eyes to understand this so that we can align our lives to all of this, so that we can be ready for what lies ahead of us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.